Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Cyrus, settle down. Easy, big fella. Easy. Whoa. You're excited, I can see.
This is fun.
You love
having a good time.
Yeah, you're like on the Star Trek. No, Starship Enterprise.
Try again.
I'm mixing up Star Wars and Star Trek. All right, we're back. This is hour three. 888-914-9149. Let's get over to Lauren now in Texas. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have had some kind of things, especially just listening to your haunted hotel story. A lot of the things that you just said resonated with me. Mm-hmm. Recently, my husband was out of town, and I was home with the dog, and just when I would walk to the door of the bedroom, I would get this terrible feeling. Mm. When I would walk into the closet, I would get like that demonic type feeling that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The dog would walk to the door of the bedroom and run out. He would stand there for a second, like he was going to run in, like rush towards the door where his bed is and run right back out into the living room.
Mm.
Yes, sir. So I reached out to a family member that has recommended me to your show several times and Relevant Radio as well. And she suggested that I make sure I have the Divine Mercy chaplet prayers all through the house. Mm-hmm. So I did that, put one in the closet. That night, I put one in the closet, and my husband's home back home at this time. Okay. Put one in the closet, and the bathroom is right there. I started to, put one in the closet, had a single hanger hanging there, turned around, did a few things in the bathroom, and I looked up, and this hanger, by the grace of God, I was able to get a video of this, but swinging back and forth. And like I said, I had turned my back to the closet, doing other things, how you get a little bit distracted,
yeah.
Look up, and it's still just going, and I have no idea how long the hanger was going for. The next morning, the Divine Chaplet prayer fell on the floor. So I reached back out to my family member. I'm like, you're not going to believe this. The prayer's on the floor. She goes, you don't let that stop you. You put that back up. So mm-hmm. I put two up. When I put two up,
take that, devil.
Again, just went, well, and is there an air vent there? No. The hanger is perfectly still all the time. Usually, typically, the closet is not empty as well. But anyway, mm-hmm. that's a whole different thing. But anyway, just, again, fervently, just more, I'm getting chills talking about it. Like, just exactly what you were saying. So I had a priest come out and bless the house.
That's good.
And
did that put a stop to it?
And we're in the process of moving. Well, I try to just look at it from a whole different perspective. Like, what would I do if this was actually happening to someone else, not myself? Let me solve your problem. Mm-hmm. So I had like a little dresser in the closet that I moved. And I thought, okay, well, why is the hanger moving in this spot, in this spot only? Why is nothing else, doing it? Is it just because I put the prayer here? So I found a box of pictures that had slid underneath there. Well, in this box of pictures, there were several more pictures added that I did not put there myself. Several different pictures, and a black marble in those pictures, and some pictures of
my family. Wait a minute. When you say, do you mean like a picture of a black marble? Is that what you mean?
No, sir. I mean a physical black marble.
Okay.
I mean an actual black marble.
Let me stop you, if I may. I want to interject something here, and this may be what you're leading up to. There may be in your house, unbeknownst to you, some kind of occult object. It could be more than one thing. That is possible that, whoever lived there before you lived there was involved in the occult. It could be something that's left over, buried in a box somewhere. It could be that somebody you had over as a guest maybe did tarot cards in that room or did something else in that room that would be an open doorway for the devil. So one thing to do is to satisfy yourself that there is nothing physically in your house or in that room. and yes. go through all your stuff and just satisfy yourself. Okay, I know because I searched this room, there is nothing occult in this room. Use holy water and use it as needed. Sprinkle it. You're more than welcome to do that. The church says it's a sacramental that we as lay people should make liberal use of. The devil doesn't like holy water. It's not magical. It's not superstition. It is a symbol of the victory that Christ has over the evil one. And when we bless ourselves with holy water or we bless objects with holy water, it's a reminder of the victory of Jesus that we share in through baptism. And the devil hates that because baptism is also symbolic of the drowning of Pharaoh's troops who were pursuing the Israelites through the miraculously opened waters of the Red Sea. You know the story, the Exodus, when they leave Egypt. And so when the waters crash back down, and destroyed by drowning all of these chariots and soldiers who were chasing the Israelites, they were the personification of the slavery to evil and sin. And so in baptism, that's destroyed. And this is why the devil, as I understand it from the exorcists whom I have read and listened to, they say that this is a very powerful and potent thing because it symbolizes Christ's victory over the evil one. So use that in your home if you haven't already done so.
Definitely. I have 5 filled bottles as we speak, okay. And it's just, I get chills every time I sprinkle it through the house. I can walk through the house and I get chills in every room, even after the priest has done the blessing. Once I did remove the black marble, the hanger stopped. Mm-hmm. Once I put the divine chaplet back up there. Like I said, we're moving, and I would not wish this upon any other person. Like you said, I have gone through everything, looking for things, and
that's good.
That type of thing.
That's good.
So I don't know, and I don't know. Okay, so we're moving, and I had some things in the living room. I know that I had in the living room, and I would not move anything else into the bedroom. Brought into the living room, and the next day, it's like whoever or whatever it is wants me to see that these 2 things that were in the living room have been now moved into the bedroom.
Yeah, and you got something going on there. And there's something more than just run-of-the-mill diabolical activity, it sounds to me. And what do I know? I'm not an expert on this, but I can read. And this sounds an awful lot like what the exorcists say is a kind of a ratcheted up kind of diabolical infestation or a harassment at a higher level. So I would... If I were you, especially since you're selling your home and somebody else will be living there soon enough, I would ask the priest to come back and pray these prayers of deliverance and driving away evil spirits and sprinkle everything with holy water. I would definitely do that again. But what you're describing it sounds like a textbook example of the way in which the evil one will try to harass you. So remember, as the Bible says, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, and Jesus has victory over the evil one, and you share in that victory by being close to Jesus. So in a strict sense, you have nothing to fear, but at the same time, too, the devil wants to do what he can, and this is one way of harassing people. So those are my thoughts, Lauren. Thank you for that, and I sure hope that that goes away soon. As long as we're on the topic, I'll tell you another story. It's a true story. It took place in my house with one of my sons, who's an adult now. He at the time, how old was he at the time? He was maybe 17 or so at the time. Here's what happened. So I'm in a deep sleep. It's probably, 2-3 in the morning, middle of the night. And I wake up from a deep sleep because I'm hearing this pounding sound. What is that? What? It's not the front door. I mean, it's not that kind of a pounding. So I wake up and I'm lying there thinking, what is this? And I realize it's coming from downstairs. All right. Did like some big animal get trapped in a, I don't know. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't make sense of it. So I go downstairs and I can hear it's coming from my son's room. So I open the door and I turn on the light, and he is sitting upright in his bed with his back against the headboard. His eyes are as wide as saucers, and he had been pounding on the wall. He was too afraid to get out of the bed, and come get me. So he was pounding on the wall to wake me up, and it woke me up. And I said, what's going on? And his eyes are as wide as saucers, and he points to his, you know, chest of drawers across on the wall facing his bed. And he says, there's something weird going on in here, Dad. I said, what's going on? And he just, I didn't see this because it stopped when I got in there, but he had turned the light on because he heard he had a dinner plate. I guess it would be like a plate that you'd have in your kitchen. And it was on the dresser, and that's where he would put his loose change. So any quarters or nickels, whatever, he'd put on this plate. And what woke him up was he felt a diabolical presence in his room. And so he turned on the light, and he watched as the coins on this plate would leap off the plate and land on the top of the dresser. And another one, and another one, and another one. And so he's watching this, you know, paranormal activity with his own eyes. He's freaked out, as anybody would be. So he pounds on the wall. I come down. Now, maybe this is just a character defect of mine, I suppose. But my reaction was not fear. It was anger. Like, how dare you, whoever you are, how dare you mess with one of my children? How dare you be in my home? How, you have no place here. You have no business here. And so I said, I'm going to go get some holy water. He says, I'm going with you. So I went, you know, to the kitchen, and I got the vial of holy water that we keep in our home, and I went straight back to his room. And I'm ticked off by this because I don't want this in my house. Thank you very much. So he's right there with me. His eyes are still wide as saucers. And I blessed that room. I nuked this room with holy water. And I said, pray with me. And we prayed, you know, the Our Father. We prayed, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. We prayed the Hail Mary. We prayed the Memorare. We prayed the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. And when I was thoroughly, I practically emptied that holy water bottle in that room. And I said, all right, let's go to bed. You can go sleep in a different room if you want to. And he says, well, absolutely. So we left. And the next day I called our pastor and I explained what happened. And he says, you want me to come over? I said, sure. And so he came over that afternoon and he blessed our entire house. And he went back into that specific room and he blessed it, prayed prayers of deliverance, and nothing has ever happened again. Nothing of any kind. So I talked to my son and I asked him some very pointed questions, which I will not, you know, get into here. It's not the appropriate place for it. But I said, is there something in your life that is an open door for the devil? Is there anything going on, whether or not in that room or not, that is opening a doorway for the devil? So that's another question, especially parents, if you're having these kind of situations in your home, things that didn't used to happen that are happening now. Investigate and ask your teenage children, or they may be older than that. Chances are it would not involve a younger child. But ask your teenage children, are you smoking pot in your room? Are you looking at pornography in your room? Do you have a Ouija board in your room? Or did somebody give you tarot cards? Did somebody give you some odd thing? I was talking to another relative in my extended family who was really bothered because this kind of weird paranormal activity was happening. Now, this is not my home. This is in the relative's home. And he said, here, let me put it on FaceTime so you can see what I'm talking about. So this is in his bedroom. So he puts it on FaceTime. And you know how on an iPhone, Cyrus, you have to tap the little thing that will reverse the camera? So at first it's looking at you. But when you tap it, then it will look the other way. So when he did FaceTime, I'm looking at him and he's sitting on his bed. And I said, what's that behind you on the wall? And he said, oh, it's just something somebody gave me. It was this like a tapestry, kind of a woven tapestry filled with occult symbols. So I said, why did you put that on your wall? Well, so-and-so gave it to me. It you know, it's kind of interesting looking. I said, that's got to go right away. You got to get that out of your room, go in the backyard, put it in the barbecue the heck out of that thing, or at the very least, get rid of it, throw it away. And he, you know, he did there and then. He just took that thing down and got rid of it. I said, who knows whether or not that was part of the problem, but that easily could be part of the problem. Because if that is an occult object, and who knows what may have been said or done with that thing, and you have it over your bed, that's like ringing the devil's doorbell. So he got rid of that, and I think that the problem subsided. And the reason I'm going into this detail is because parents especially, but even if you're not a parent, even if you're like living on your own or whatever, don't underestimate the power of the evil one to try to worm his way into your home if you've got stuff like that in your home. So get it out of your house. Get rid of it. Burn it. Destroy it. Don't leave it so that somebody else can pick it up and start playing with it. Have your home blessed. Bless your home on your own with holy water. You can get holy water in the vestibule of your parish church. There will be a metal canister. Almost every parish on earth has got one of these metal canisters filled with holy water in the vestibule. That's where you go and you fill up your holy water vial and you take it home and you bless your children, bless your house, victory of Jesus over sin and death. That's what that's all about. That's why you make the sign of the cross with holy water when you enter a church. It's not superstition. It's not magical. It is the power of Jesus and his grace and conquering the evil one that is symbolized so powerfully with holy water. And the devil hates that stuff. He hates it. So use it. You know, get a super soaker if you need to. That's what I would do. And definitely invite Father McGillicuddy over to your house and feed him a nice dinner and ask him to bless your house. Enthrone the images of Jesus' Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary in your home. If you don't have a crucifix in your home, if you don't have images of Our Lady, the saints too, for good measure, why not? But have images of Jesus and Mary in your home, because not only are those going to tell anybody, you know, any human being who comes into your home, oh, these people love Jesus. Oh, these people are Catholic. You don't have to look very far to know that this family is Catholic. Have them in your home. It's also a great way when you're raising your children, you want them to grow up amidst the signs and symbols of our faith. You want them to see Jesus. As St. Paul says, I preach Jesus and him crucified. That's why you should have a crucifix in your home. There's nothing wrong with a cross. I'm not saying there is, but have a crucifix. That's the biblical motif. St. Paul talks about this. We preach Christ and him crucified. Etc., etc. He says it in several different places. So have a crucifix, because the other dimension of this is that not only does this tell any human being who walks into your home, these people are Catholic, it also puts on notice any evil entity that may be trying to get into your space, get into your family, get into your home. It puts them on notice too. It's like an electric fence. I mean, they'll still try. But it's going to be a lot more difficult if they realize, oh, these people, they're followers of Jesus. That's my strong recommendation. Even if you don't have any problems, do it anyway. And then you're not likely to have any problems. That's my heartfelt advice. Okay, we're going to take a break, but we'll be right back with more. This isn't the Ghost Story Hour. Don't worry. I'll take your question on just about any other topic. It just so happens that we veered into this for a time, but we'll get to other things as well on the other side of this quick timeout. Get some holy water in your house. Be right back. Notre Dame Federal. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now, Relevant Radio.
Cyrus, my boy, you would have a fantastic career as a classic rock DJ, because you know what to play.
Yes, but I have the greatest job in the world, so...
Oh, I didn't say I was going to let you leave. Now we're going to chain you to your desk. But if in a different life, if you ever wanted to spin wax, you would do a good job.
That would be a lot of fun.
Great playlist today. Keep that going, okay? I'm holding in my hands here something I want to remind you about. We talked about it not yesterday. It would have been probably the day before. or the day before that, and that is my new book. I have a brand new book out, and I actually am holding a copy in my hands. It's not a mock-up. It's called Inquisition. It's tongue-in-cheek. Inquisition, Q-U-I-Z, is in big, bold letters. Inquisition. Q&A for the curious Catholic and the Catholic curious. Fun and factual, faith formation, because the more you know, the more you grow. And this is a book of quizzes, as you might imagine. Each quiz has about 12 questions on all kinds of different topics. Scripture, saints, customs, doctrines, just funny and interesting things about the Catholic Church. Things that you might think you know, but you'd be surprised when you find out what the real answer is, or something you never knew about, and you'll say, wow, I never knew that. So this quiz, each answer in the quiz, and there are a whole bunch of quizzes, has five possible answers. So it's not true or false, it's multiple choice. And each of the correct answers for each of the questions, for each of the quizzes, is explained. So you not only get the correct answer, but you get the backstory as to what that's all about. The best thing of all is that this book to you is absolutely free. You don't pay a dime. If you go to relevantradio.com/quiz, you'll see it there. If you have the Relevant Radio app, just open the app and you'll see a picture of the book. My smiling face is there too. If you click on this, this book will come to you free. You don't pay shipping. You don't pay handling. You don't pay for the book. You don't pay for anything. Cyrus, did I mention that the book is free? Did that come through?
Is it really free, though?
It's free. F-R-E-E. M-O-O-N spells free.
Yeah, I double-checked this. It is absolutely free.
It is free. And here's how you get your copy. Just go to relevantradio.com/quiz and tell us where you want the book sent. Presto, done. And the book will come to you in due time. It won't take that much time. In fact, I think that it says it'll take X number of weeks, but just between you and me, I think it's going to be a lot faster than that. But that's what it says. So get your copy. It's free. I think you'll enjoy it. You don't have to be Catholic to get this book, obviously. If you're just like curious, say, why do Catholics do this? Or why do they believe that? Or what about this? Chances are you're going to find something very interesting in this book called Inquisition. Now, you're asking yourself, or you're asking me, can I get copies for my kids? Can I get copies for my relatives? I've got kids off in college. Can I get a copy for them? The answer is yes. Here's how you do that. When you go to relevantradio.com/quiz, just grab the link. You know, you cut and paste. If you're using your phone, so much the easier. Just text that link. Text it. Text it to your daughter in college. Text it to your brother-in-law. Text it to whoever. Text it to everybody. Just go through your list on your phone and text that link to everybody, and it will pop up on their phone, and they can order their own book because it's for each individual person. You can't like order 10 copies to distribute. Just let everybody know about the book. They can order it for themselves. The other thing is put it on Facebook. Grab that link, relevantradio.com/quiz. Grab that link and just pop it up there on Facebook. Hey, look, this guy's got a new book. It's free. And free is good. That way people on Facebook can order the book. If you're on Instagram or Pinterest or Twitter, I'm sure I'm leaving something out. Whatever your social media of choice is, put this link out there and then a whole bunch of people can find the book and get it for free. So please act on this because, like with anything else in the created universe, there is a limit to the number of them, and they are going quickly. This book just became orderable, I guess, yesterday. Am I right on that? I think I'm right on that. And
Tuesday.
Okay, what day is today? Today's Thursday.
Right.
I'm like in a time warp right now. I don't think anyone would get mad at me for revealing a state secret here. And if they do, oops, sorry. As of like lunchtime yesterday, so within a matter of a few hours, 15,000 copies of the book had been ordered. And that was as of lunch yesterday, I guess. So who knows what it's done since then. But here's my point. This book, Inquisition, absolutely free. No, you don't pay shipping, you don't pay handling. Everybody and his brother wants this book, which makes me happy. Every author, of course, likes that kind of thing. But even though the print run was massive, and I probably can't say how much the print run was, but it was big. But it's going away quickly. So that warehouse stock of the books is going to be depleted very rapidly. My point is simply this. If you want your free book, don't hesitate, because at some point in the not too distant future, they'll all be gone. And I don't want you to miss out. So go to relevantradio.com/quiz. Get your book, text the link to all of your pals, all your family and friends, put it on Facebook. And I think Father Rocky would have the biggest smile if he walked into the warehouse and saw, hey, where are all the books? Well, they all got ordered. That would be a fun problem to have, wouldn't it?
That's great. I put in my order. It took about 20 seconds. You open up the app. It could not be easier. Open up the app. 20 seconds later, you'll have this book on the way. I did mine, and about 20 minutes later, you handed me a book. I was like, whoa, this,
well, you
this
get special treatment.
This app works great.
I can't guarantee I'll deliver the book personally to anybody other than you.
Oh, I thought that was a for everybody thing.
Yeah, I'd have no time to do the show at that point. Yeah. And I saw you thumbing through the book yesterday, and I think you liked it, judging
it's
from
awesome.
from your facial expressions.
It is really cool.
You got a few chuckles out of it, didn't you?
I did. Yes. All right.
Good. Relevantradio.com/quiz. But please don't wait, because they are flying right now, and I don't want you to miss out. Let's go to Thaddeus in Chicago. Hi, Thaddeus.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. We share the same name. Thaddeus is my middle name, named after St. Jude Thaddeus.
Oh, great. You got a good name there.
Indeed. So do you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother always liked St. Jude Thaddeus, so that's what she gave me the name.
Same here. Our moms have a lot in common. So tell me what's on your mind this morning, Thaddeus.
Oh, yes. You know, I wanted to welcome you in Chicago. And since we got a lot of parks over here, you know, in Chicago, you know, why don't we get together at a park, you know, all of your listeners, and you can, you know, they can ask you questions over there. You can answer to everybody.
Wouldn't that be amazing if we could get all the Relevant Radio listeners together? We need a pretty big park, though, wouldn't we, Cyrus? We would probably have to rent out Central Park in New York. But even then, I'm not so sure we'd have enough room for everybody. That's an interesting idea, Thaddeus. Who knows what God has in store for us? But for the moment, at least, we can share the airwaves together. So I thank you for listening to the program. And tell all your friends, not only about Relevant Radio, about the Patrick Madrid Show, but please do order your free copy of my book, Inquisition. I think you'll like it. And you can get that by going to relevantradio.com/quiz. Thanks, Thaddeus. Let's go to Michelle now in Minneapolis. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I've been married about 20 years, have two kids, and my husband and I have had a hard time following the church's teachings on being open to life. Uh-huh. So after our second child was born, my husband had a vasectomy. Okay. And then I was on birth control before that, except for when we wanted to have kids. And then I had really heavy periods. So after the vasectomy, I thought, well, let me get a uterine ablation so that mm-hmm. I don't have such heavy periods anymore. That didn't really work. So I went ahead and had a hysterectomy. I thought, well, I've already done it. So mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter now. So I've been to confession. I've had multiple conversations with my parish priest. And I feel at the time I was okay with it. I didn't feel bad about it, but I still went to confession because I thought, well, I wasn't supposed to do it, but I'm kind of glad I did. And now it's been probably about 8 years since it all happened. And I've grown a lot in my Catholic faith, do a much better job following the church's teachings. And so now I feel intensely guilty about it. I feel like I have one foot in hell, and I can't move. I can't move past it.
Yeah. All right. Several layers of things going on there. I'll offer you some advice. Is that okay if I offer some advice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, you are right to feel the way you do, insofar as it sounds like before, Michelle, you were kind of ignoring your conscience that told you, yeah, there's something wrong here. I shouldn't have done that. But you really, as I understood you, you really didn't feel sorry about it. And you didn't have a sense of sorrow for sin, even though you went to confession. And that's good. Good that you went to confession. But your conscience, I think, is still bothering you because you weren't really sorry. That's what it sounds like. And now you are. So I think the best and easiest way for you to assuage these feelings of guilt is to, when you go to confession again next time, just say, I don't know if what happened after my last confession, in which I confessed this sin of having the hysterectomy as a form of being sterilized. You didn't have it because you had, you know, uterine cancer or anything like that. You did it because, unless I'm misunderstanding, you did it so you could avoid pregnancy. Is that right? Oh, and also
that was
the
part of it. I mean, it was.
Sorry, go ahead.
It was mostly because I didn't want to deal with periods anymore, and they were really heavy. And my husband had already had the vasectomy, so we already did the I'm not getting pregnant anymore thing. Right. So then I thought, well, let's do this now. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
and
I'm not trying
the
to.
Reason I feel.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, Michelle.
No, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, and I think the other reason I feel guilty about it now is just the permanence of it. Like, I feel like we should have had more kids. Like, I wish we would have been open, more open to life. And so now, and it's too late now. So.
No, I understand. Yeah, because that's an irreversible situation. Unlike, say, a tubal ligation, which could be reversed, hysterectomies are right. Irreversible. So a few thoughts. Number one, my sense of how you can begin the process of really healing and also healing the wound in your conscience is when you go to confession, say, I've already been to confession, Father, for this sin. And of course, whatever other sins you may need to confess, bring those forward. But just say, I also have come to the realization that I really wasn't sorry for this sin. I knew that I shouldn't have done it, but I kind of like, well, I'm glad I did, so I really wasn't sorry. But now I am, and now my heart has been moved by God's grace, and I realize much more deeply, more keenly, that what I did was wrong, and I truly am sorry for it. So I want to bring it back to confession, not because I don't feel like I was forgiven the first time, but I don't think I had the right disposition to receive God's forgiveness, and now I do. So I want to bring this forward. I also want to repent of the sin of being cavalier about this, being, you know, well, you know, I know it's a sin, but I'm glad I did it kind of thing. Because even that in itself is, I hate to put it this way, but even that itself is sinful. So just bring all that forward. And I do believe that after you make this good confession, those feelings, those pangs about not having been sorry before are going to go away, maybe not all at once. But here's the other thing. We haven't even talked about your husband's vasectomy. I would just simply advise he needs to go to confession if he hasn't already done so, because that is his version of sterilization. And I understand you had other mitigating circumstances that were part of your decision to do this, but we don't have to go back over that ground. But if he hasn't gone to confession, he has some unfinished business, because a vasectomy is a serious sin. Now, interestingly, I know not everybody can afford it, but it is now a common procedure to get a reversal of vasectomy. So that can be done. And that would be part of restitution, if possible. Not because necessarily you're going to have more children. I don't know how old you are, but let's say that you're past the age of having children. It wouldn't be for that reason per se, but it would be trying to correct a problem if it's possible to correct it. That's kind of like making restitution. And then the third thing that I would say for you, and this would be to see this now as a cross of your own making, that you have sorrow over the thought of children that you could have had but won't have, and it's your own fault. And I'm not trying to speak to you I'm not reprimanding you, because it's not my place to reprimand anybody. I'm just saying what I would say to myself if I were in a similar situation. This is something I did. I caused this. And the pain that I'm experiencing and the wishing that I could have more children, this is my fault. And so, Lord, I'm offering you this pain, these feelings. I'm offering this to you as penance for my sins. And I ask you to please purify me and help me to become holier and carry this cross that I made for myself. And he will, and he'll help you with that. And those feelings of wishing you could have had children and any, whatever other suffering may come to you as a result of this, you can turn this to your advantage, and you will grow holier, and you'll be more mature and stronger as a Christian because you're offering those sufferings to him. That would be my last bit of advice.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That really helps.
You're most welcome. And I realize, Michelle, just speaking as a man, and you're a woman, I just want to emphasize, I don't presume, either in talking with you or any other one, I don't presume to, like, as a man, tell you what you as a, really only you as a woman would know with your own body and your own fertility, etc. I'm only saying what I'm saying in this frank manner because you asked for my advice. So please, I hope you don't feel as though I'm scolding you or anything like that. I'm just, from my heart, I'm just sharing with you what I'm saying because you asked me to. You know what I mean?
Right, yes.
Okay.
No, I think that really helps. I feel like I kind of expect, or felt like I kind of knew what you were going to say, but I just felt like I just wanted to hear it. I just wanted to know what you were going to say. So, no, that's really helpful.
Fair enough, Michelle. Yeah, Jesus loves you and he wants you to be happy.
I love you. Yes, and I love your show and I've learned so much from you. So thank you so much for all that you do.
Thanks, Michelle. God bless you and your husband. I'm sure there will be an interesting conversation around the dinner table tonight in Michelle's home. Praise God, right? Wonderful things happen to those who listen to Relevant Radio. I'll be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
You're hitting it out of the park with the music today, Cyrus. Well done. Let's see. I have a note here that came in from Dan, and Dan is listening on the internet. And he says, Patrick, I received confirmation. He's referring to the sacrament of confirmation when I was about 15. During that time period, I was addicted to pornography and the sins associated with it. I recently heard that you need to be in the state of grace to receive the sacrament, and I don't believe I confessed this sin until I was well into my adult years. Does this mean I didn't get confirmed? Is there a remedy for this now? Thanks, Dan. Dan, excellent question, and all the more so because I suspect this is probably very common. I don't think that your situation is isolated, so all people listening right now who may have found themselves when they were confirmed in the state of mortal sin, and maybe wondering or never wondered about it, but now they are, here's the answer. You did receive confirmation, so presuming, and there's no reason not to, presume that the bishop validly confirmed you. So the valid form and the valid matter, you were validly confirmed. But the spiritual benefit that goes with that sacrament could not take hold. It did not obtain in your soul because if your soul was in the state of mortal sin, there's nowhere for God's grace to go because mortal sin kills, it extinguishes the life of grace in the soul. So two things to know. One is, and this is the happy part about this, is that the way the sacrament of confirmation works, even if you were validly confirmed while in the state of mortal sin, when you get out of mortal sin and you retain, or you attain rather, the state of grace again, then the effects of your confirmation take hold. Then they start in your soul. So if, let's say you were confirmed at 15, as you said, and you didn't confess the sin of the pornography addiction and the other things, and I know what the other things are that you're referring to, you didn't confess those sins, which leads to the second point I want to make in a moment, but you didn't confess those sins until you were 30, let's just say. And when you did, you made a good confession. Then all of the action of the grace of confirmation begins at that point. So that's the simple answer to your question. You don't need to get quote unquote reconfirmed because it like baptism can take place only once. If you're confirmed, you're confirmed forever and ever. Amen. And in a way, like baptism, St. Thomas teaches us that just as in baptism, a character is imprinted on your soul. It's an indelible character. And what an analogy that may help you think about that is, imagine like a king's signet ring with his royal crest on the ring. And if he's going to proclaim something, he's going to give some edict to his kingdom, and the parchment upon which his edict is written will be sealed with hot wax, and the king's signet ring is pressed into the hot wax. And what happens is the symbol on his ring, which is a sign of his authority, is transferred from the ring to the wax. So the wax receives this imprint, this indelible imprint of Jesus on the soul when you are baptized. And the same thing happens when you are confirmed. This is why confirmation, again, is not repeatable. Now, the second point I wanted to mention is simply this. If you haven't yet gone to confession, and by that I mean made a good integral confession where you confess this sin and whatever other sins perhaps that you've not confessed over the years, you really need to go as soon as possible for this reason. If somebody were to go to confession, and let's say he's conscious of five mortal sins, different kinds of sins, one of them is so embarrassing and he feels so ashamed about it that when he goes to confession, he just, I'm not going to mention that one. I'll tell all the other ones, but I'm not going to mention that one. Okay. That ipso facto is a bad confession. Ipso facto, it means that you're still in mortal sin. None of those sins were forgiven because you're trying to fool God. And of course, you can't fool God. So if you intentionally, and this is different if you forget, if you go to confession and you've got five mortal sins that you're aware of, and there's another one, a sixth one that you totally forgot about, and you just don't remember it, and you make a good confession, you say everything that you're aware of, and then the next day you say, oh my gosh, I forgot that. You made a good confession, and you are forgiven, and the graces of the sacrament are present in your soul. You do, however, have the obligation that when you go to confession the next time, bring up the one that you forgot. But you are forgiven, and you are in the state of grace, but you still have the duty to confess that sin that you forgot the next time around. Point being is, I think many Catholics are unaware that when you go to confession, if you intentionally conceal or fail to mention a serious sin, this is not true of venial sins, but if you intentionally neglect to mention a serious sin, you not only have not made a good confession, but you've incurred yet another sin, and that is the sin of sacrilege. So, since you mentioned that you didn't confess this sin until many years later, I thought it would be helpful just to add this little, you know, discourse on about the nature of the sacrament of confession. You can go without any mortal sins, make a good confession. That's a good sacramental confession. If you have mortal sins, you have to say every single one that you can remember. And last little bit, I won't dwell on this, but number in kind, number in kind, number in kind. What does that mean? When you go to confession, you say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been X months or weeks or years or what have you since my last good confession. You want to date it back to your last good confession. And you say, these are my sins. And then you say the kind of sin. So in your case, you know, I was addicted to pornography and I looked at pornography how many times? I don't know, a billion times, 1,000 times, 100 times, whatever a reasonable estimate is. I looked at it once, I looked at it however many times. So you want to say the kind of sin it was, you want to say the number of times, as far as you can tell, that you committed the sin. God understands you don't have a precise, often there's not a precise number that you can say, but if it's like I looked at pornography every day for the last 10 years, just say that. He'll understand. Number in kind, number in kind, number in kind for each serious sin. And then when you're done, you're done, and you know you're forgiven, and you'll walk out of the confessional on air because you will know in your heart that you have been forgiven of your sins. So just everybody, just remember that. When you go to confession, say everything, and then you're done, and you don't have to worry about anything. 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Megan in Maine. Good morning, Megan.
Hi, Patrick. My question today, sorry, I have a fussy 2-year-old.
That's okay.
So we were at Barnes & Noble earlier, and we saw some books on.
I bet you the baby wasn't crying until you called me. And then the baby, that's when the baby starts crying. No problem.
Screaming. I'm so sorry.
God bless that child.
I know. You know, she's getting sleepy. So we saw some board books designed, you know, books designed for 0, 1, 2, 3-year-olds on gender ideologies, like okay. parents guess when the baby is born and right. two moms and stuff like that. So what I did, it was right at toddler height.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was hide it in the adult psychology section behind the biggest forward-facing stack of books I could find.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, should we start a movement like this? Do you agree with what I did? Should I write this bookstore a letter?
I think that's a good idea. I can tell you this, though, that the store manager doesn't really have any say in that because yeah. these are point-of-sale stores. So when the cash register mm-hmm. scans the book, then it depletes it from inventory, but it also tells the mothership back at corporate, oh, one of these books sold. And if they see that right. certain books are selling as they do, then they'll order more of them because they want to keep the right. books that sell on the shelves. So that's what you're up against there. I can understand why you would want a book like that out of harm's way. And I don't disagree with you when it comes to that. In fact, just on a personal note, Megan, I remember many times when I was growing up, this would typically happen when I was with my mom in the grocery store. And you know how you get up to...
That's my infant in my arms crying.
Lady Madonna, children at your feet. Wonder how you managed to feed... Anyway, I'm drifting off into Beetle Land. Okay, so... I remember many times seeing my mother when we'd roll up to the checkout counter. You know, that's where the National Enquirer and all the other tabloids and those are all there with the impulse items that you didn't go to the store to buy, but you're standing in line waiting to check out. So a lot of people buy the stuff that's there, Cosmopolitan magazine, etc. So I very often saw my mom just turn those magazines around, or she would take an innocuous magazine and put it in front of the bad ones, you know, and her thought process was, well, people behind me will have kids. We don't want them to see that. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If the store is going to be socially irresponsible and have things there that are injurious to good morals, especially of children, you're not stealing anything. There is no rule. I mean, the store doesn't have, I've been in many Barnes and Nobles and I've never ever seen a sign that says you have to put the book back where it came from. They didn't tell me I had to put the book back where I got it off the shelf. So I don't feel like I'm breaking any rules if, oops, oh, look, that weird book that I don't want any kids to see winds up some other place. Whoopsie, you know. I'm not advocating that we steal anything. Now, you know, you can't do anything wrong.
Oh, and, certainly not.
Yeah, no, and you would never do that. But if you're being creative about trying to minimize the risk to innocent children, I certainly endorse that.
Right. I was thinking back to Pride Month when you advocated that people take out the gay pride books.
That's the library one. And a librarian called in and said, oh, but that'll backfire because if you do that, then they'll think that the book is, you know, a hot property. They'll order more in. So. But I do think that you should at least raise your voice, Megan. I told you what my mom did. Let me share with you what my dad did one time. This wasn't in a bookstore. It was at a kind of a, it was like a convenience store that happened to have a delicatessen there, and they also sold donuts. And so after Mass, many Sundays, we would roll by this place, and we'd stop there, and my dad would go in and buy a big box of donuts because that was our Sunday ritual. Well, one day, and I was with him when this happened. I remember it. I was probably about 12 years old. One day, we go into this liquor store mini market deli, and there's a big rack of porn magazines. that wasn't there the week before. My dad lit this guy up like a Christmas tree. He said, "What are those magazines doing in here?" And the guy was the owner, and he says, "Well, you know, it's product. I sell it." He says, "Well, I don't want those in the store." He says, "Well, you don't have a say in it. This is my store." And my dad said, "Yeah, well, I shop here, but I'm not going to shop here anymore because I don't want my kids seeing that. And I think it's wrong that you got these magazines in the store. You should take them out." And so, the owner of the deli, he's kind of, he's got his back up and he's irritated and, you know, like, well, I forget what he said, but he wasn't having it. He was not going to listen to what my dad said. So my dad said, "And check it out. Not only are we not going to come here anymore, but I'm going to tell everybody at our church and everybody I can tell not to shop here because you have those magazines." And so my dad huffed out and I huffed out with him. And I don't know how long it took, but it seems to me that it was a matter of a few months. And the guy had taken all the magazines out because people were boycotting his store. I don't think he had a conversion of heart as much as he was losing revenue. And so my dad made good on his promise. He told everybody he knew, "Don't shop at that store because they have porn magazines." And eventually it got out of there. So I think your child is telling us that I should stop talking.
Yes.
All right.
He's telling me, "Mom, do something different."
Yeah, I understand. Well, Lady Madonna, thank you for your call. I'm out of time. Look at that. Boy, a three-hour show goes by very quickly, doesn't it? Thanks to everybody who made this possible, this beautiful brand-new studio here at Relevant Radio headquarters. I'm thrilled to be here and look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Same Pat time, same Pat channel. And until then, as ever, please pray for me and I'll pray for you. And pray for Cyrus, too. God bless you.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.